Ladies and gentlemen, federal employees, retirement for federal employees comes with some major decisions that are literally life-altering that will change your finances and your life for the rest of your life. So we want to make sure we get them right because many of these decisions are irrevocable, meaning once you make it, there's no takesy-backsies, okay? Once you make it, you're stuck with that decision. You want to make sure you do it right the first time, because most of these decisions you don't get a second time, okay? We're going to dive into all these things today. Now, if you are new to this channel, so good to have you. My name is Dallin Hosmo, financial planner who helps federal employees with all the good stuff, the benefits, retire, all the things, and I love doing it, okay? Let's dive in. When you retire, right, normally a few months before retirement, you're filling out what they call the retirement application. And this application basically goes through a bunch of your personal information. There's a bunch of things on it, but on it, you also make a few huge decisions, again, that are life-altering, okay? Here are some of the big ones. Number one, on your application, if you are married, you have to decide if you want to leave a survivor benefit for your spouse. Now, what is a survivor benefit? As a federal employee, you know everyone gets a pension, right? Well, not everyone. If you retire from the government, you get a pension, which is a monthly check for the rest of your life. However, if you want that check to go beyond your life, and let's say you pass and your spouse is still around, if you want them to get a piece of it, that's not free. And that's what survivor benefits are all about, okay? If you don't elect survivor benefits, that means if you die, your pension dies with you, okay? Here are the options. Number one, this is the full option. You could call it the full survivor benefit, or this is how I like to summarize it, 1050, okay? If you elect this option, it's gonna cost you 10% of your pension when you're both alive, and your spouse would get 50% of your pension if you were to die. For example, let's say your gross pension, your pension while you're alive is $1,000 a month, just to keep my numbers easy on me, okay? $1,000. Okay, let's say it's $1,000 a month. If you elect a survivor benefit, this full option, you would only get $900 while you're both alive, because 10% or $100 in this case would go to pay for survivor. So you'd only get $900, okay? But if something happened to you, your spouse would be left with $500, okay? The 50% of the original amount. Okay, that's how it works. Now, again, this is not the only option. This is just option number one. You could do the full. And there's no way to leave them more than that. This is the most you can leave, is 50% of your pension. Okay? Next, 525. So the partial survivor benefit would cost you 5% of your pension while you're both alive, and your spouse would be left with 25% of your pension if you were to die. Okay? So it would cost you $50 a month, right? And they'd be left with $250 is how it would work. Okay? Or, of course, you could do 0-0, meaning it costs you nothing. Basically, you say, no, I don't want a survivor. Let's say you're not married or your spouse is going to be okay. They don't need this income. Hey, you don't have to elect one at all. It's not required, right? But it's certainly an option. Okay? Now, there's two big hooks when it comes to survivor benefits that are critical to understand. Number one, if your spouse needs the income, right? If they just need the income, they're relying on your income. If something was to happen to you, then yeah, you're probably going to want to elect a survivor benefit depending on what level they need the income, right? Number two, if your spouse is reliant on your health insurance, your FEHB, your federal employee health insurance, then for them to continue on that health insurance for the rest of their life, if you were to pass first, right, they would have to have one type of survivor benefits, okay? If you don't elect survivor benefits, they can stay in your health insurance while you're alive, but if you were to die first, they'd be kicked off of your pension and your health insurance. So keep that in mind. That's critical to understand. Again, survivor benefits basically is irrevocable. There's small windows of time right after you retire that you can make adjustments a little bit, but again, those adjustments are very limited in what you can do. So do this right the first time. Pick the survivor benefit that it makes sense and that you won't regret, that your spouse will be taken care of for the rest of their life as well, okay? Next, the other decisions you make on your application is insurance, of whether you want to keep certain types of insurance into retirement, okay? For example, most people want to keep health insurance. That one's easy. Most people want to keep, let's say, their dental and vision if they've enjoyed it, if it's been useful for them during the career. You can keep that in retirement, no problem, okay? The big one, though, is life insurance. Do you want to keep your Fegley? Do you have any Fegley left, right? Check on that right now if you haven't already. Do you have Fegley? Do you want to take that into retirement? Spoiler alert, Fegley in retirement generally is incredibly expensive. Okay, there's different parts of Fegley, so the devil's in the details on exactly what it's going to look like. But most of the time, if you want to keep your full Fegley into retirement, good luck. It's going to be you're going to have to pay through the nose to keep it. So I've got whole videos on Fegley, what it does in retirement. It goes through all those things. Just keep an eye on what insurance you want to take in retirement because you're making these decisions at retirement. Okay? You're making decisions at retirement. Now, those are the things you make on the application itself, but there's other big decisions, especially with your TSP, that you make right around retirement. So let me paint this picture. Let's say you've saved well. Let's say you have $1 million in your TSP, right? You're a TSP millionaire, and you retire. Let's say you're 60 years old. Many people at that point are like, look, I've got $1 million sitting right there. I have access to it now. I'm retired. Many people say, oh, I'm going to take a big chunk to go do this or to pay off the house or whatever it may be. They start feeling, wow, I'm feeling pretty rich, right? I've got all this money sitting there ready to be used. And the truth is, yes, that's true. It's your money. You work so hard for it. It's meant to be enjoyed. But just be careful. Be careful. There's two big things that you're going to want to watch out for. Number one, what I've been talking about right now is watch out for big withdrawals. Okay, big withdrawals. What do I mean by that? If you need a ton of money from your TSP, I'm not saying you can't take it out and use it. Just keep in mind that whenever you take large lump sums out of your TSP all at once or in the same tax year, then there can be some tax implications, okay? It can push you up into a higher tax bracket because, again, any money from the traditional TSP is taxable. It's taxable money, right? So you may pop up way into a higher tax bracket. It may affect your Medicare premiums if you're close to Medicare. It can affect a whole bunch of things. So just keep an eye on that. And again, it's your money. You can use it however you'd like, but you can often save a lot in taxes over time and keep money in your own pocket just by keeping an eye on what size of withdrawals you're taking per year. Okay, so keep that in mind. Last but definitely not least is TSP annuity. This one, again, is irrevocable. Okay, if you don't know what an annuity is, well, let me actually back up. At the beginning, I mentioned your pension as a federal employee, and that is often called an annuity, right? It's that monthly check the government pays you every single month for the rest of your life, okay? That's often called pension or annuity. However, in the private sector, an annuity is when you take a piece of your money, let's say a piece of your TSP or a piece of your investments, whatever it may be, you take a piece of it or all of it, and you go to an insurance company and say, hey, I'll give you $300,000 if you guarantee a monthly payment of $2,000 for the rest of my life, something like that, right? That's what they call an annuity. It's a contract that says, I'll give you this much money now, and you give me this much at this interval for this amount of time, okay? That's what it is. And the TSP, actually within the TSP, you're able to do a TSP annuity, okay? The government has contracted with MetLife to provide these annuities, okay, to have quote-unquote guaranteed income from your TSP. Now, again, this is irrevocable if you do it. If you take a piece of your TSP and you go hand it over to MetLife and say, hey, I want a guaranteed income, they'll do it, right? They'll do it, but there's no takesy-backsies 99% of the time, okay? If your life changes, if you end up getting cancer, if something changes dramatic in your life, you can't go change it. So just be wary. I've got whole videos about whether an annuity makes sense or not. The short answer is probably not. As a federal employee, probably not. You've got lots of fixed income normally. You have your Social Security, your pension. You've got a lot of quote-unquote annuities, monthly payments that will be there forever. Most federal employees don't need any more. Most federal employees need the flexibility that comes with just having investments that you're investing on your own. Okay? So keep that in mind. Those are the big decisions that you make in retirement. I'm sure there's other ones, but these are some of the big ones that came to mind as we were planning this video. So hopefully that's helpful. If you have any follow-up questions, stick in the comments below. We'll do our best to address them. Have a great rest of your day.